For the past two Sundays, I have been drawing attention to the fact that God wants us to live where He lives. And that is not in the regrets of the past, and that is not in a neurotic desire to drive to the future, but we are to live where He lives in the ever-present now. We've been talking about now, and we're going to talk about it today, right now. I point you to a familiar passage of Scripture that many people have found in the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and beginning with verses 3 and 4. Something very interesting he said. He said, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." He's talking to God. And then it says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." Isaiah makes a connection between having perfect peace right here and right now, and he ties it to what? The God who is eternal, who has no concern about time at all because he is always living, the ever-present now. He's forever in charge. He's in charge right now, and therefore, you don't have to worry about it, and you can experience perfect peace. From the Old Testament, you find that in the book of Isaiah. If you want another example of how the future doesn't really exist, isn't as important as we think, or that the future is not supposed to dominate our attention and our energy as it does, look at James, the 4th chapter, and verses 13 and following there. James 4, 13. What does that say? He says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Remember Jesus said not to worry about tomorrow? The book of James agrees and said, well, you can't worry about tomorrow because you have no idea if it will even show up. So don't worry about the future. I ask you, where do young children live? In what time frame? What time reference? Children live in the now. That's their natural tendency and instinct. You try telling a 2-year-old what you're going to do, that you're going to do it later. Well, what is later? They don't know later, and they have trouble waiting. You say, well, in a few days, we're going to go to Grandma's house. A few days. What does that mean to a 2-year-old, huh? They we're going now. We're going to see Grandma. And they get all excited about it. So you find yourself avoiding telling them about something exciting or something interesting coming up. And you wait till the last minute. Why? Because they expect to do it right now. All they know is right now. So you go on a trip, right? And they say, how soon will we get there? When will we be there? And you say, 3 hours. Do they get 3 hours? No, because it's exactly 60 seconds later they ask, are we there yet? Right? Children live in the now. We teach them the concept of time, later, the future. And as you see, the older they get, the more they get it, and they experience more of time, and they start to create a past. And therefore, maybe we teach them too well to live in the future. And they get as neurotic about it as you and me. Children live in the present moment. You know, maybe that's why Jesus said, he put a little child in their midst, and he says, you great big adults, you ought to be like a little child. I believe there's many meanings to that, what he meant. But I think one of them was, be like a child and live in the now. You live way too much in the past or the future. Well, rather than go on making the case for living in the now, let me offer to you some benefits that God wants you to find living this way, living now. When you are fully alert and attentive to right now, Things are more alive and real to you. They really are. Things are more alive and real to you. When you aren't thinking about the past, or when you aren't pondering what you're going to be doing in the near future, you are paying better attention to what is around you and what is within you. What about right now? Gee, the clouds are so puffy and white today. Aren't they beautiful? Gee, isn't the air clearer, fresher, and cleaner now that it's gotten cooler? My, the branches of that tree are so green and so full. I see that tree, and I experience that tree much, much better. And doesn't it feel good to be well-fed today? I feel good, because I've had enough food. And, you know, my coworker is so sweet, kind, and considerate. I see her kindness. Yeah, when you pay attention to right now, you notice things and they become more real and alive to you much, much better. If your friend is trying to tell you something about an experience that he's had, try to focus on that friend completely, okay? Really, really listen to him. Stop thinking about something that happened a few days ago. Stop thinking about what you're going to be doing in a little while. Or stop thinking about some clever story you're going to tell him as soon as he finishes telling you his story. You know, are you even looking at your friend when he's talking to you? Are you seeing his body language as he's speaking? You know, his excitement, his enthusiasm? Are you really getting a sense for his spirit and his soul because he's so pumped up about what he's telling you? You know, are you really alive for your friend in that moment? Or so many times we're not. We have our heads in the past, or we're thinking about the future. When you are fully alert and attentive to right now, you are more alive to yourself and you are more alive to other people. You remember when they brought the little children to Jesus? I guess the parents probably did. They said, Jesus, would you, you know, be with our children, touch our children? What did those great big adults want to do, his followers, his disciples? They wanted to shoo the children away. I suspect they wanted to get rid of the little kids like that because little kids can't do as much for you, Jesus, as the adults can. You know, the adults have the power, and you ought to be going for the power. The adults have the money. And, you know, we can use the money in our campaign here as we're going around teaching and preaching the gospel. You know, you need adults. So, kids, get out of here. And Jesus said, nope, don't give me that. Don't give me that. Let the kids come. He wanted to pay attention to the children that were in front of him rather than the adults who were not. So I see Jesus giving them his full attention, looking at their little faces, listening to what they said, even if it made nonsense, just enjoying them, because Jesus lived in the moment. He enjoyed the children. When you are fully alert and attentive to right now, you savor experiences more fully. You really do. remember reading about a man who had a weight problem. And he said, like so many people, he had a psychological issue with food, that somehow food kind of met a really deep felt need for him psychologically. And he said he became enlightened one day when he realized that as he was eating lunch, what he was thinking about, you know what he was thinking about? He was thinking about what he was going to have for dinner. And that caught him up short, and he said, hey, wait a minute. Here I am thinking about dinner, and I'm not even savoring the food that's in my mouth right now. I'm not even tasting it. I'm not even enjoying it. And I'd say to the man, I said, yeah, there you go. There's a good example of him living in the future, thinking about dinner and not even enjoying his lunch right here, right now. Virginia Jones was a really nice lady who was a member of a Sharon Baptist Church. When I was interim pastor there for a little while, I got to know Virginia and a lot of other wonderful people there around the Farmville area. Virginia was telling me how her grandmother told her so many times about the experience of when she, her grandmother, was just a six-year-old girl, and the Civil War rolled their way through Southwest Virginia, and that she and her family got caught in the middle of the Battle of Sailor's Creek. You ever been down 360 and 460 down there and see the signs for Sailor's Creek? Or maybe you've been to the Sailor's Creek battlefield. There is a white house that is still on the battlefield there. That was their house, her grandmother's house. And her grandmother vividly remembers being 6 years old and being in the basement of that house and having her father with his arms wrapped around her as the battle was raging outside. She could hear the bullets and the mortars hitting the walls of the house upstairs. That house is still there today. Virginia said her grandmother talked about that all the time. She got sick and tired when she was a little girl of hearing her grandmother share this memory about the American Civil War. And then Virginia said, but you know what? Now that I'm an old lady, and now that I'm intensely interested in history, I would give anything to hear my grandmother's memories. I would give anything to be able to ask her questions about what she experienced as a little girl. But is that possible? Her grandmother's long gone, of course. Actually, Virginia's passed away now, too. But she couldn't reclaim that moment. She couldn't go back to it. She couldn't go hear her grandmother again. Now, if she had savored what her grandmother was telling her when she was a girl, then she'd have it. She'd have it more fully and be much more satisfied. I've noticed that when I concentrate on what is happening and what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing right now, I remember things better. Did you ever notice that about yourself? When you're really paying attention to right now, you remember things better? I mean, this ought to be obvious to us. If your wife is updating you on some matter of family business or family events that are coming up, she's giving you an update, okay? But you're thinking about what you're going to be doing in the garage in a few minutes, okay? Where's your head in the future? You're not right there right now listening to your wife. So do you hear her? No, just kind of halfway with one ear. And we guys are pretty good about that, aren't we? But this is our mistake. Usually thinking about something in the future. Not listening very well. So you're not in the now. Therefore, when it comes later, time to remember what she said, you're not in the know. Oh, did you tell me that? When? When did you tell me that? This is what we're doing. Not just guys, but gals do it too, you know? We just don't live in the now. Therefore, we don't remember. You take a student who is sitting in class, and the lesson's being taught, the science information is being presented, but she is thinking about the weekend and what fun she's going to have and what she is going to do. She doesn't remember the homework assignment because she was thinking about the weekend and the fun she was going to have and the fun she was going to do. A whole lot of our memory problems are associated with not being in the now. We can remember a whole lot better if we are. When you are fully alert and attentive to right now, you greatly increase your chances and your ability to be free from unhappiness and to experience real joy. If you live in the now, you can let go of a lot of unhappiness. You can really experience joy now. Because I suspect that if you really reflect on the things that make you unhappy today, big, big chances are you're unhappy about something in the past. Recent past, long time ago past, but it's something in the past making you unhappy. How come? Sometimes it's something really disappointing, something really discouraging, something detrimental, something that was disastrous. But that thing or that event is long gone, but your mind is still dwelling on it, still reliving it. Why? Jesus said you don't have to. Don't bother. You can be let go of the unhappiness and experience the joy of right now. Jesus came to liberate us from our past, and he doesn't want us carrying it along with us. Likewise, as we have talked about, worry is nothing more than living the troubles of the future. A future which may or may not exist according to the Word of God, and a future that may not take the shape or form that you think it's going to when it shows up as here and now. So worry is a whole lot of suffering about what? What's going on right now? No, about the future, borrowing troubles from the future. Worry is self-inflicted, and it does a splendid job of making us unhappy. So why do it? Why do it? I read about a Greek man who was very, very poor. And he was talking to some American tourists one evening who were in his town and visiting. The man had no job. Very, very, very little money. He had a wife and he had a whole house full of kids to take care of. And yet this man was the happiest fellow that these American tourists had ever met. And as they were sitting there on the veranda of this Greek city one evening, they asked him, he said, "Well, you have no job, you're so poor, can we ask you, how come you're so happy?" And he said to them, "I have this beautiful evening, a lovely sunset in front of me, and I'm in the presence of good friends. How should I not be happy?" Now, so many of us would label this guy as naive or a fool. But he had discovered the benefits of living in the moment at hand, not in the moments which do not exist on either side of his right now, but he was just really happy right now. See, when you are fully alive, fully alert, fully attentive to right now, you experience beauty. Beauty. That's what stopping to smell the roses is all about. Experiencing the beauty. And we're not talking about roses, of course. Roses take many forms. The beauty of the people around you in your life today. So many times all you can see is their faults, their shortcomings, but if you look for their good points and their beauty and the stuff that's great about their lives, there's lots there to see when you're looking for it. The beauty of our living spaces, where we live is beautiful. The beauty of your neighborhood, no matter what neighborhood you live in, it is beautiful. The beauty of making enough money to be able to pay taxes. What are you smiling about? Now that is a beautiful thing, to be able to pay taxes. Fantastic. Isn't that beautiful? The ability to travel many miles with very little effort, many miles in a short amount of time because you own something as fantastic as a car. That's amazing. That's beautiful. And yet you and I do it all the time and don't even pay attention. And we complain about the drive or the sun's in our eyes or what time am I going to get there? We miss it. Miss it. Beautiful things are all around us, and most of us are unconscious to them because our heads are either stuck in the past or the future. When you are fully alert and attentive to right now, you live in a peaceful state of acceptance. Do you find yourself doing a lot of complaining? What is complaining? Complaining is saying, I'm not happy with where I am right now, or this thing that's in my life right now, or this person that's in my life right now. I'm not happy. You're not happy with right now, are you? Do you complain about people around you? Do you complain about the situation you are in? Complaining is non-acceptance of what is, right? So, are you supposed to just accept it? And just say, okay, that's the way it is. Yeah, a lot of people commented on the thing we had up the other week was it's not good, it's not bad, it just is. That's really good. It's not good, it's not bad, it just is. But there's also the case for you don't have to stay in that state. If you can do something about it, do it. Take some action. Some action is often better than no action at all. If you can speak up, speak up. Change the situation. And if you do something, and if you speak up, and the situation still doesn't change, then leave. Leave the situation. Who said you have to keep owning it? Now, you know very well there's some stuff we can change and other stuff we can't. How to figure out what to do, when to do it, that's hard. That's challenging. But we can do it. Living in the now, we can come to the peace of acceptance. Accepting the situation the way it is, or taking action to change it. In short, the benefits of living with God in the right now are enormous. Just enormous. I've named a few, but I suspect there are more. And the beautiful thing about it is, when can you live in the now and experience these benefits? Oh yeah, I'll schedule that a week from now. Well, no, that's not the point. The beautiful thing is you do it, and you can do it right now. Right now. You don't have to wait for perfect peace. It's not going to develop. You're always projecting it into the future. But God says, you know, you can have it right now. If you quit trusting yourself and trust me, I've got it covered. I've got it taken care of. I'm living right here, right now, and I want you to do the same too. And I want you to realize the tremendous benefits that come from doing that. So when are you going to do it? Live in the now. When? How about right now? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we've missed your perfect peace. We have not had peace. We don't have it now because we're trusting the wrong person. We're trusting ourselves and our ability to know the past or our ability to move into the future. And you said, well, forget it. Trust you, the eternal rock who's always there with us. Right now. Lord, we want these benefits in our lives, and they come simply by trusting you. Help us to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.